We're 6 months into a new administration, and investors are combing through the economic data. This week, host Jason Middleton gets an economic and investment report card from a wealth manager and financial analyst. Are investors overly enthusiastic, or are we in a Goldilocks economic environment? Not too hot, not too cold. Investing in retirement planning. That's now on Techonomics.
Markets hate uncertainty. That's how the saying goes. And yet, in these quite uncertain times, investors persist. Domestically, there are political issues that seem almost incredible. U.S. economic data is mixed, and with flat inflation and wages around, investors persist. Fed Chair Janet Yellen may have given her final testimony on Capitol Hill. That could create a discontinuation of policy. Investors persist. The three big boards at the corner of Wall and Broad have continued to push through each new record high, and signals from several financial houses anticipate a summer that will continue to see stocks go up. Europe and Japan are continuing their aggressive stimulus packages, and those are tailwinds too. We grabbed a wealth manager to help give us a report card on the past 6 months and a look ahead for the rest of the year.
The Dow is up about 8%. The S&P 500 is up about 8%. And NASDAQ, which are all the tech companies, is up over 17%. If you annualize that on a yearly basis, that we've never seen these numbers. It's been quite a bull run.
Now, I recorded this a few days before my guest was proven further true with headlines that, in fact, the European Central Bank was indeed firming up their markets. And that Japan is extending its goals by a year, making that a very fertile investment field indeed. Here's part one of two of my chat with our wealth advisor.
George Nocetti, wealth advisor at Morgan Stanley in Walnut Creek, California.
Friend of the show, always a pleasure to have you on. Let's look backwards before we look forwards, okay? Because we're coming off the first 6 months of the year, the first 5.5 months of a new presidency, a new administration. Economically speaking, nothing seems to ding these markets. So what's been going on for the past 6 months?
Well, it's really been a Teflon stock market. I mean, if you look at the last 6 months, all but four of the 30 major indices representing the world's biggest stock markets by value have risen this year. Unbelievable. Mm. The first half performance of this year has really been unmatched since about 2009. It's an incredible gain for a bull market. And this now stands as the second largest bull market we've had since World War II. Now, this is coming off of things like jitters from, Syria to North Korea. Right. They've really failed to really dent this stock market, even including the gridlock we're witnessing in Washington with delay on health care and also the investigations around the current administration. All these things should be headwinds. They should be things that typically would tank a stock market. But again, this has been a Teflon stock market. We're seeing the global economy actually do well. The S&P 500, the Dow, the NASDAQ.
Right.
Phenomenal.
Trading near all-time record highs or near, very near. And sometimes, you see a pullback here and there, some profit taking, then they float back up.
Pretty amazing. Last year at this time, the indexes were really about up 1% or 2%. But fast forward to today, the Dow is up about 8%. The S&P 500 is up about 8%. And NASDAQ, which are all the tech companies, is up over 17%. If you annualize that on a yearly basis, that we've never seen these numbers. It's been quite a bull run.
I'm glad you mentioned geopolitics in your first answer, too, because I have a question for you. Are we, A, whistling past the graveyard when it comes to the markets, or B, are they gridlocked in Goldilocks state?
Well, it's not too hot and it's not too cold.
Right.
But so people seem to be enjoying their porridge right now. Our projection at Morgan Stanley really is that this market is going to continue to be very, very strong, at least until the end of the year. And the reasons are, this is the first time in a while that the U.S. stock market, the larger companies, are continuing to do well. And while that's happening, Europe is starting to do really well. European stocks are doing very well. And on top of that, developing countries, those stocks are also doing very well, too. So it's really the perfect storm where these three major areas, U.S., Europe, and developing countries, are all doing well. So those individuals that have diversified are for the first time in a while seeing some benefit. Now, that's happening even though we're seeing all these headwinds out there. It's probably one of the best times we've had in the global stock market in years.
Well, sure. And to refresh everybody's memory, the ECB, the European Central Bank, came very late to the table when it comes to its extraordinary efforts to prop up markets. Well, the Fed was very early on that. So we had the Fed do its stuff early, and then it dropped it. And now the ECB kind of picked it up towards the tail. So we have a really strong, firm floor right now, don't we, for international stocks?
Oh, exactly. Exactly. The European market through the central banks have gone through quantitative easing just behind us. So they're starting to see the benefit now of the free money, really, because the European Central Bank has negative interest rates, while the U.S. Central Bank, through Janet Yellen, we're increasing the cost of funds now. We're probably the only central bank, actually, that's actually charging banks when they borrow money from us.
Right.
But if you take Japan, if you take Europe, they all have negative interest rates.
Coming off of Chair Yellen's possibly final testimony on Capitol Hill, mm-hmm. did you glean anything from that that you wanted to talk about?
Well, that was a real reality show. It was quite an interesting meeting. Usually they're pretty boring, but she took a very, very dovish approach, which the stock market liked that because it showed that rates are not going to go up all that quickly. And that's because inflation is still sub 2%. We've been waiting for inflation to hit since 2008. And it is incredibly low, and that has held prices down as well as wages over a longer period of time. So the big problem that the Federal Reserve has right now is that they have a balance sheet, just like any company. They have assets and they have liabilities. Right now, they have over $4 trillion in liabilities. This goes back to 2008 when they tried to stimulate the economy. And so they bought a lot of fixed income, a lot of treasury bills. So you can't have $4 trillion of liabilities on the balance sheet because that's 25% of our gross domestic product. It has to go way down. So now, in the last meeting, Janet Yellen said they're going to start reducing their balance sheet. That will probably start to happen in November, where they'll be selling off about maybe $50 billion a month of their treasury bills. We don't know what the effect of that's going to be on the economy, but that's the initial plan right now. So that'll delay probably any increase in the federal funds rate probably until December. And we're only giving that about a 60% probability because, again, one of the benchmarks that the Federal Reserve has is that they have to get inflation up 2% plus, and we're really sub 2%. As a consumers, when we go to the grocery store, it helps keep our costs down when with low inflation.
Right. I'm feeling that, but you had me a little bit worried there when you talked about lowering the balance sheet by $50 billion per month moving forward, maybe, starting in November, maybe. I get that. But isn't that an oversupply problem? And isn't the bond market already kind of in a bit of a doldrum?
Well, it is, but what happens with these treasury bills that would be selling them at about 2%, you have a lot of nations outside the United States that have fixed income at negative interest rates. So I think there'll be a lot of buyers really for our low yield fixed income. So I think, you know, getting it sold, but it could dilute the market again. It could create more inflation. And I know that the Fed will be very, very cautious as they do this. I don't think they'll have a rule of selling $50 billion a month. It could be $10 billion. It could be nothing. It could be letting the treasury bills expire normally. I think they have to test that because one thing they don't want to do is slow the economy down. The economy now is moving at about a 2% clip. The president wants to get it at a 4, 5, or 6% clip, and that's virtually impossible unless there's other stimulation, you know, coming from our federal government.
Right. All right, George. Well, thank you for that. That's a retroactive, teachable moment because you made a lot of sense of that bond thing and the Treasury bill thing for me, so appreciate it. Now, let's change hats for you. Let's move forward for the rest of the year, because when I sent you an email asking for this interview, I mentioned, hey, you know, if healthcare repeal replace fails, does that ding the chances for tax reform? Well, since I sent that email, looks like the replace portion of it has failed. How do you see the administration continuing to affect or not affect the markets?
Well, it's definitely an issue and a problem. The reason why getting the Obamacare Act changed and fixed is because it will free up a lot of money in the government because it'll reduce health care costs, theoretically, at least from a budgeting point of view. That's been the plan if it was approved. And that savings could be passed over for tax reform. Doesn't mean tax reform is not going to happen. It's just going to make it a lot more difficult. And it'll make government and the officials that actually vote on these things a lot more confident in our nation's ability to actually get things done. So, you know, not passing the health care proposal is a problem because that won't free up as much money for tax reform.
Okay, well, we've talked a little bit about headwinds and tailwinds. Let's just kind of give you the floor. How should investors be positioned for the rest of the year? I know you're long term. I know you're a wealth advisor, and that takes longer than the next two quarters. I totally dig that. But for the purposes of this show, and since we've given it a report card for the first 6 months,
okay. Is
there any way we can look at the next 6 months?
Yeah, I think it's really important to look at how much of your personal assets you have in the U.S. economy. And if you're all in 100%, at some point there'll be a 10% correction or some other kind of correction, could be short-term or long-term. It'd be really important, especially now, to diversify and maybe take some of those assets from the U.S. economy and push them over to European economy. We even like some investment in the Japanese market and Japanese equities also. We like the financial area. We like the information technology area. And so we think it's really important, especially now, take some off the table and just reposition to another area. Some in the U.S., some in Europe, some in developing countries. Also look at Japan. We think Japan's going to do, you know, we're going to do really well. The emerging markets, you know, have really had a nice run, and we think that'll continue to do well. So, again, you know, it's really important not to put all your eggs in one basket.
Right.
It's really more important to be diversified. You're not going to get the high of the market all the time, but you certainly don't want to get the low. I mean, if you're down 10%, it takes about 20% to come back, and that's hard to do.
Yeah.
So we just want to be prudent. We want to be diversified. We want to look at the long term. Now, if we're a young investor, you know, we could be a little bit more speculative because we have time for corrections. But if we're a baby boomer, we have to be very, very cautious and be diversified in our planning.
That was George Nocetti. He's a wealth management advisor at Morgan Stanley in Walnut Creek, California. And that was only part one of our chat, too. So if you're listening on the podcast, please search for the second segment at KGORadio.com/techonomics. Retirement advice is coming up in our next segment. Plus, I want to take a look at what amounted to a raft of significant reports and headlines from the business world this week. Doesn't feel like summer. I'm Jason Middleton, and this is Techonomics. Please come on back.